Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another opportunity to have one of those fantastic in-depth conversations that I love to do on this program. And as always, we have a fantastic show in store for you. For those who are joining me for the first time, I always like to welcome you. I hope you'll come back and listen again and again because I have some wonderful guests. And it really is a program designed to empower you with truthful information so you can really make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. For those who are joining me for the first time, please go visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. That's also my Facebook page. Like me there, opt into my newsletter on my website because you will then be able to get all of these shows sent to you on a weekly basis. You won't have to miss out on any of the great interviews I do. And also, I post great ongoing educational material on my Facebook page, just, you know, good stuff, fun stuff. And on my website, you'll be able to get some free articles that I download and just keep in touch with all the things that I'm doing. So it's a great way to continually get educated and empowered along the way. Now, today we have a fantastic conversation in store for you. We're going to be talking with Dr. Joe Tafur, and he is the author of a wonderful book that I've really been enjoying reading. It's called The Fellowship of the River, A Medical Doctor's Exploration into Traditional Amazonian Plant Medicine. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Tafur. He is a Colombian-American family physician, originally from Phoenix, Arizona. After completing his family medicine training at UCLA, Dr. Tafur spent 2 years in academic research at the University of California in San Diego, Department of Psychiatry, in a lab focused on mind-body medicine. After his research fellowship over a period of 6 years, he lived and worked in the Peruvian Amazon at the Traditional Healing Center, Nihuareo, I hope I've said that right, Centro Espiritual, where he worked closely with Master Shipibo Shaman Ricardo Amaringo and trained in ayahuasca shamanism. In his new book, The Fellowship of the River, A Medical Doctor's Exploration into Traditional Amazonian Plant Medicine, through a series of stories, Dr. Tafur shares his unique experience and integrative medical theories. So, as many of you who have been listening to my shows in the past know that I have been to Peru. I have had profound experiences with Shipibo shaman, working with plant medicine, first in Peru, and then I've been doing this ongoing journey in Costa Rica with the powerful plant medicine called ayahuasca, which has been absolutely transforming for my life. And I was very thrilled to be introduced to Dr. Tafur's book. I'm not even sure. I think I found him somewhere as I was searching online. And I just loved what he's doing and his message and the experience as a medical doctor coming to this medicine and learning from it. So having said all that, I want to welcome Dr. Joe Tafur to the show today. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on the show. A pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. You have such an interesting story to tell, and I'm sure people are fascinated to learn how a traditional medical doctor found their way into the Amazonian jungles. But before you tell we get there, just tell me a little bit about you and what happened for you to put you on a path that, in a sense, was very non-traditional from your training, but on the other hand, it probably really spoke to you in a very deep way that you weren't even aware of when you were doing your traditional training. So tell us about this process you went through.
Well, I think I was just sharing with somebody that I think that before I went to medical school, for me it wasn't as non-traditional in the sense that, you know, yes, my dad is a doctor and he's a psychiatrist and I grew up around doctors, but I was interested in kind of spirituality and natural healing. and was considering like maybe studying Chinese medicine or something like that. And then I had the opportunity to, I was encouraged by a lot of people, including my dad, who thought that maybe the best way to kind of advance the integrative medicine movement was to get an MD, and to do it from that place. And so I decided to do that. And then in medical school, being kind of somebody who had taken some time off and had been living life and exploring a lot of different things, it was a pretty rough road, to kind of get to subject myself to that kind of system and that way of thinking and kind of the, what I've been saying, which I'm not saying it's all bad. There's a lot of great doctors, but the process is known to be and was at that time commonly thought to be dehumanizing, And for me, it was rough. It was very difficult for the kind of my sensibility. And I became depressed, which I hadn't really been depressed like that. So I came to know being depressed and really kind of struggling with myself and my mind and my thoughts. And that went on for some time, until finally I decided to ask my family for help. And my dad, I tried antidepressants for a brief period of time. And I saw that it was helpful to me, at least it did make it easier to kind of cope. But at the same time, I was exposed to a good friend of mine who was doing research in psychedelic medicine and this kind of renaissance of clinical psychedelic research. And I was learning about all the biochemical crossover between the antidepressants and the psychedelics, and learning about how like so many of the same problems that have been treated with antidepressants are like subject to investigation for treatment with psychedelics. And a lot of it has to do with the related biochemistry, at least at one level of those two things and their activity on the serotonin kind of, brain network. But any which way, to me, on antidepressants, I felt a little bit like I was on drugs, and I had experimented a little bit with psilocybin mushrooms, and I had tried ecstasy, and it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. I wasn't really a big drug enthusiast or psychedelic enthusiast, but I felt like, wow, I'm already taking this, and it feels like I'm on drugs already. So why, why the stigma against trying something maybe more in line with my kind of spiritual beliefs? And so I had the opportunity to go back to Arizona and come off the antidepressants and all that, and try peyote in a healing ceremony through a tradition that's based out of this place called the Peyote Way Church of God. And I had a remarkable experience, and it just felt so healing and so powerful that I was just shocked, that something like that wasn't more widely known or more available. In the case of peyote, I can understand why. It's such a limited resource. But that slowly turned me on to this idea of plant, spiritual plant medicine and shamanism. And my family's from Colombia, and so I had heard about ayahuasca in Colombia, they call it yagé. I knew about it, and I had come across a couple books and knew that there was kind of a scene where people were going down there, to have experiences guided by shamans in Peru, and was advised after asking around to go check out this particular location. And then I went, and I had some pretty amazing experiences, and I just really felt like, wow, this is so familiar to me. It felt so familiar. I was kind of welcomed by the community, and just really felt like I had found something very that resonated with me at a very deep level. And so then I just went back again, and then again, even more profound. And so then I went back again, and then as a doctor and someone who spoke Spanish, the shamans were interested in communicating with me and helping them translate with people. And I got closer with them, and they invited me to bring groups to the center, and I started doing that. And I just saw such incredible healing amidst the people that were coming through, on top of my own experiences, which were very profound. And I just thought, wow, I can't believe this. This is a very powerful medical tradition. And eventually, one of the shamans who wanted to start his own center, Ricardo, invited me to join him to start a new center. And at that time in my life, it just was like a, I just absolutely said, yeah, that's what I want to do. You know, there's a lot of other times in my life where I haven't been very clear about my, you know, decisions, but that was time, that time I just, well, it was for sure I was going to do that. And so we did it, you know, and we launched the center, and it still exists. Like, as I mentioned, I may have mentioned to you that I'm stepping out as a business partner. I'm just a consultant, just because I'm spending less time down there, and I can't really, as a doctor, kind of maintain responsibility for what's happening there. But I still bring groups there, and, you know, and help screen the participants. And so that's the story. And then in that process, you know, I was encouraged by the shamans to train in the tradition, and you know, eventually, you know, completed the training and worked kind of as an assistant shaman there for you know, the last several years. And so gained like an incredible amount of experience and watching people go through the process, you know, through at extended periods. You know, some people coming for, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, but other people staying for months and being part of that. And so, yeah, it was an incredible experience.
So I want to go back to the beginning of your story when you were experiencing that depression. You must now have insight as to why that emotional energy, that suppressed emotional energy, was going on in your life, which led you on this journey. Can you share?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I can share some of it. I mean, I think that, I mean, there's probably, like, ultimately, I think that part of what was so difficult for me was that I felt a kind of a connection to a mystical side of things. And that was, that did not fit, you know, anymore where I was. And I did, there was kind of a misfit kind of theme, you know, growing up here in Arizona in a Colombian family and just feeling different. And then somehow that experience of just feeling like, wow, you know, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to feel good about this. I'm supposed to be proud to become a doctor, you know. But this process feels really bad for me. And it really feels like some of the worst parts of the culture, you know, are really being played out here. As I mentioned in the book, like, there was personal stuff, you know, that I kind of ended up facing that was, you know, I'm not really clear. Before, I don't think I was struggled with myself so much. You know, maybe it was necessary for me to go through that, and maybe other people had already been challenged to a degree where they've already come through that with themselves. But for me, there was definitely like an exacerbation from the environment, which I felt like was very disconnected to a lot of truths, you know, just disconnected to what it feels like to be alive. And, you know, like I tell people, it's just like, you know, this something I was talking about earlier today, that, you know, when you enter that kind of like academic, you know, scientific, as it's become, you know, before it was medicine, but now science, you know, it's like this idea of the religion of science dictating like what people can even share about themselves, leading to this neglect about how people feel, of neglecting other people, neglecting the subjective experience of the patient. You know, if they don't fit in the paradigm, if it doesn't fit in the paradigm, it's not real. And I just found it very offensive. And I also found the culture of kind of humiliation, you know, very offensive. That there were a lot of people that, you know, expected us to kind of bow down and kiss up to them who seemed quite unhappy themselves, you know. And so I was very frustrated and angry about the experience and just felt just locked up in my head and just eventually angry and sad and then filled with doubt. You know, just tons of doubt about every aspect of my identity and my being and my choices and feeling kind of lost and scared to really open up because, as I mentioned in the book, you know, it was not a supportive environment. I don't think the people, I mean, now it continues to progress, and I think there's a continued, like, awareness about how there needs to be more support for the medical students, you know. But at that point, it was like, you know, if you expose something, that was probably going to be counted against you, you know. And that's what I mentioned in the book, that when I was reviewing with one of the deans, you know, for my letter to enter residency, I had failed a class in my second year when I was really, you know, I just had all kinds of things happen to me, and a crazy thing with the girlfriend and everything else that I was going through, my own mental turmoil, and I failed a class. And, you know, eventually I turned out not to fail it. They ended up giving me credit that I passed. But they, you know, they wanted me to review with them, like, why was I depressed? And if I couldn't explain it to them in the terms that they could understand, that they would need to put something in my file that, you know, I have depressive tendencies. And this person asking me this question, like, I did not feel any caring from this person. It felt like a very, like, predatory, like, just an interest in trying to get me to reveal myself to them. And I just, you know, like I said, I did not feel any love in the situation. So my response was, I think you should put whatever you think you should, you know, is right. You know, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. Put whatever you'd like, you know. Mm-hmm. As in, I'm, like, done with you guys. You know, like you don't love me, I get it. You know, message received. And so that's you know, I'm over it. And people are like, oh, you're still angry about it. And I, you know, that is angering to me. And still, it was the key, like, thing to crack me open and break me open and, you know, show myself that it's like, well, what I really wanted to do was be a healer, you know, and I wanted to be involved in spiritual healing. And so, yeah, it's frustrating to want that and be, you know, but then train in this other thing. But, of course, it's so beneficial, you know, to gain the education and the training and all the opportunity that comes with it. You know, including work opportunity, but also just the scientific understanding and what that brings to what I'm trying to do now. You know, so ultimately I'm extremely grateful. And, yeah, I think my dad was right. But, you know, maybe I could have been better prepared somehow or whatever. That's just what I had to go through. And I understand that's life. You know, I think everybody's, is you know, forced to deal with one thing or another that, you know, is traumatic. And so that was my experience. So I just think it really revolves around, and maybe it's something that you could relate to. It's just, this is what I was touching on before, like science, medicine, science. You know, Ralph Messner, I had some time talking with him. He's kind of a psychedelic elder, been involved in the, like, Harvard community since Timothy Leary and Ram Dass. And he's just like, you know, the problem is science and medicine, and they're being conflated. You know, science is one thing, medicine is another. And medicine is about clinical outcomes and people healing and feeling better. And science is about explaining it and expanding the knowledge base. And so then the issue becomes, you know, I mentioned this before, I want to mention it again, is just one of the books that I quote is this General Theory of Love by these UCSF psychiatrists. And I was talking to some people in the integrated medicine kind of world, and I was like, yeah, wow, you know, they knew about this book. Oh, yeah, I remember, I read that book 20 years ago. And I'm like, wow, you know, I hadn't even realized it was that old, even though I was quoting it and citing it, because I thought that, like, you know, it was new information to me. I had never come across it. And I thought it was, the ideas were so, you know, useful and kind of well-placed. And I was like, I'm surprised that didn't, you know, catch on. And the person repeated to me, they said to me, oh, well, you know, it had that four-letter word in it, you know, L-O-V-E. And so then I just responded, you know, and this is how I feel, and this is the message I think that's just crying out from the land, is like the idea that love is unprofessional, you know, and not welcome in an academic discussion is a profound ignorance, you know, which will only bring suffering. Like, it's, to me, that's very clear, and I think it's clear to most people, you know, but somehow going there involves a lot of personal exploration that's really uncomfortable for people, and, you know, there's not enough support right now for people to do that. And so, you know, we're trying to expand the consciousness, and everyone's trying to help promote that kind of stuff. But once we address that stuff, which is a cultural issue and a cultural problem, you know, it turns out that it will have a you know, it should and will have a tremendous, like, create a tremendous benefit for health and healthcare. You know, in other words, reduce the burden dramatically, because that's kind of what, you know, the book ultimately is about, is showing how what these people were able to achieve through the plant medicine and the ayahuasca shamanism and their experience, when their integration, et cetera, the whole context, you know, to the maximum of its possibilities, is they were able to kind of come into contact with love for themselves and acceptance for their lives and an ability to forgive and compassion, you know, and gratitude. And once they were able to really experience those things at a visceral and deep, profound level, you know, their health improved.
I'm gonna just jump in here for a second, because your story is so fascinating, and going back to the original cause of your deep depression, it just is pretty obvious, I think, to you and certainly to me, that you were, you know, operating from this, in this academic world, this very mental world, but really suppressing your soul, you know, so
exactly.
Your spirit,
yeah,
was really denied. And here you are, this sensitive young man that is already on a spiritual path, and you were kind of cut off from all of that.
Right.
Obviously, you're serving that time in medical school is a great gift that you now can use. But, you know, the source of depression for people generally is related to something that they are not allowing themselves to acknowledge, to have, to heal, some anger they're suppressing, you know, it's putting the lid on things, and it manifests as a suppression of your life force, which is really depression.
That's,
it's not a chemical
exactly.
imbalance as such, as we have been taught, you know, it's a
no,
suppression.
No, but I mean, there are, you know, there is, like, you know, there's things that happen in the body that you could see in some individuals related to that. That's, I try to get into that, some of that physiology, this idea, the way it kind of connects is like this ego mind, you know, is overtakes and suppresses the heart and the feelings, you know, and you have to turn yourself, like they say, you know, your heart doesn't actually close. You can turn the switches off to your feelings, but the heart is still going, you know, and so you will, the dissonance will have an impact. And so that's kind of what happened, you know. So you try to, like, mentalize and go through it that way, but it doesn't address this reality that's going on, which is how you feel. And that's, like you said, that's where the chemical, whatever, imbalance discussion, you know, is just what it's
so,
extremely insensitive, you know, you could say, you know, just like
so,
all of a sudden.
I was going to say, so you were in search. You were unhappy with the way healing, I mean, medicine really isn't healing. It's very scientific.
Right.
You know, either you are prescribing or you are diagnosing symptoms or you're performing test or surgery. You know, so the scope
right,
is actually
right.
very limited, right? But you don't ever touch the emotions. You don't ever touch the soul. You don't ever touch the real issues that are behind why people are manifesting dis-ease in their bodies, which is, to me, such a critical point that you were saying in the book. So
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the role of the traditional medicine and its contribution in this awakening. I mean, all healing has to come from returning to self-love. Ultimately, that's
right.
I mean, that's what I learned, you know, on my exploration of traditional plant medicines, and certainly the time that I've been working with plant medicine ayahuasca, it was a revelation. I mean, ultimately, and as a psychotherapist, it just was even clarified more that we have to heal the emotional wounds that come first, and the physical diseases come second. So can we explore a bit about the role of this ancient and traditional plant medicine form of healing?
Sure. So, you know, like all the traditional healing modalities, like you said, I mean, that first, that the ones that, whoa, sorry, this thing is coming off. this the incorporation of the spiritual and the emotional dimensions of health, you know, which is what you're talking about, where that has been kind of like lost, you know, in this effort to be more objective, more scientific, and more materialistic, you know, primarily. And that's what kind of limits the paradigm to, like, you know, what we just talked about, the whatever can be measured or, you know, ultimately monetized. But the human experience involves, at the very least, emotion, you know, and emotion is acknowledged by the Western scientific paradigm. You know, it just can't be denied that people do have emotions, and there's a whole biology study of emotion and animals and humans. And so we know that that's real. And so we know that, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we feel. And so the traditional spiritually oriented, like, approach, for example, in the case of this ayahuasca shamanism, you know, you're going to go after things at that level. And within the tradition, it's kind of referred to as, you know, the energetic level. The energies associated with your emotional baggage, the energies associated with emotional trauma, and that these are things that maybe are difficult to measure, but that people experience and are very real to people. Like I say, it's as real as heartache, and it's real as joy, you know? And so those things are just basic to, I think, all cultural kind of understanding of what it is to be alive. Although, you know, whatever, academic science doesn't necessarily... is beginning to explore, you know, like the role of gratitude and things like that. So that was always the approach, was to look at things from a spiritual kind of energetic perspective, because there wasn't that denial about that experience. And then, you know, there's this other piece, which is that the emotional body and the emotional being and the heart, et cetera, like that would be actually, the foundation for the intuition and the foundation for access to the mystical. And so that somebody that would be kind of stuck in a nihilistic perspective, you know, where it seems kind of deadened to the mystery, it would be because they're emotionally blocked or blocked energetically somehow. And so that the optimal physiology would... that would also be part of a functioning human, you know, that they would have a healthy and happy heart, and their emotional being would also be calm and peaceful, which would also give them greater access to their intuition and to possibly, like, some of the other mystical faculties that appears, you know, humans have the capacity for. So that those things would be at the basic of, like, how you would rate somebody's health and their vitality, that they would need to demonstrate those things. You know, and that's what you see discussed, I think, in other traditions where they, you know, they incorporate emotional and spiritual dimensions of health, like Ayurveda, like traditional Chinese medicine. And in fact, you know, to some degree in the Western world, of course, it has to be acknowledged through psychology and then the psychotherapy and then some degree of mind-body medicine and kind of the growing consciousness around all that stuff. And so there's no way around it. And Ken Wilber, I don't know, one thing I liked, he talked about how, like, these different layers. He always likes to talk about hierarchies and the integral psychology and integral medicine, different things. And he talks about how, okay, there's this limbic kind of emotional brain, this level, and then there's these higher cortical levels that's associated with, like, more ego. And he tries to link that to kind of a cultural stages that at this kind of advanced materialistic Western culture is very ego-oriented, very me-oriented. So you get all these solutions that the materialist kind of model can provide, you know, whether it's this biochemical solutions for different problems, very kind of intellectually derived. But below that, or maybe, you know, whatever, integrated, is this limbic level, this emotional level, which is connected to the world of you know, ultimately emotion and spirituality that the tribal society was very much, that was a huge part of their culture. Their culture was all about relationships with other people and their community and their connection to their environment. And so it's that connectedness and that all that stuff that people have kind of, like, walked away from as, oh, that's our, you know, primitive past. like I say, people watch National Geographic, they see somebody dancing around the fire. Oh, that has nothing to do with me. Whereas every one of us is from that, you know. That's the root of our humanity and the root of our culture. And so we've kind of, you know, thrown out the baby with the bathwater. They thought, oh, we want to move on from these ignorant ideas. But they disregarded some of the truths about the knowledge that a lot of traditional cultures had about the role of the human heart and our energetic health. So I don't know. That's just rambling, but those are some of my ideas about that.
So talk about what, when you were down in Peru with the shaman and you would drink this brew made up of two plants, you know, one ayahuasca, one chacruna. Talk about what you observed, witnessed with people who came there. So people came there because I would imagine they were seeking healing on some level with something, physical healing, emotional healing, some trauma. Well, can you share some of the experiences? I know you write about some of them in the book, and I'm sure you've witnessed so many miracles of healing.
Yeah.
So what are some that stand out for you to give people an idea of this power of medicine?
Right. I mean, I think what ends up happening is, so we get past this kind of intellectual, you know, mental blockade and this quieting of the mind and then this opening of this emotional stuff, you know, held in this spiritual context. And so people have all kinds of experiences ranging from, you know, just a physical experience to just a very emotional experience and sometimes very mystical experience. So, you know, some of the things that I talk about in the book, for example, like one example that's interesting to bring up in this discussion is a woman that came with this chronic cough. You know, so this lady comes with a chronic cough and she has been to all the doctors. She's had all the CAT scans and all the specialists have seen her. And she still has this dry cough that doesn't go away and keeps her up at night, and it's kind of annoying. So then we talk to her and try to figure out what's going on with her, and she's telling me that she doesn't feel like it's coming from her lungs, even though that's what all the doctors are trying to, you know, sort out, what's wrong with her lungs. She feels like it's coming from her solar plexus, you know, from kind of like a third chakra type of location. And so then I talk to the shamans about her and tell them, hey, you know, she says it's coming from here. And the shaman's like, well, yeah, you know, that makes sense. She's got a lot of grief stored in there. So now we're going to go after that grief and try to help her release that grief. And as we explored kind of the story of her personal life, we learned that she's going through a divorce right now because she just found out her husband's been cheating on her a lot for like a long time. They've been married 20 years, and it's really extensive, the infidelity. And she hadn't realized it at all. So she's trying to figure out, like, you know, okay, the betrayal, but also, like, why didn't she realize this? Why didn't she see this happening? And how was she blocked off? You know, so there's blinders that people kind of end up with from our patterns. And then, you know, for her, it was kind of about her childhood and her parents being alcoholics and kind of neglecting her and her kind of need to raise her siblings and just be second best and just kind of, you know, this guy seemed like a great opportunity. At least I'll get out of this situation. I'll go to that situation, but not really realizing what might be possible, you know, if she really loved herself, which she didn't really learn about that as a child from her parents. So then she comes into the ceremony and she has her experience. She doesn't feel much at first, and we give her a little bit more and then bring her up in front of the shaman that, you know, I had talked to her about it, a Shipibo lady. That decided to, you know, this is a whole other topic. This is kind of the mystical practice of the shamanism and with the Icaros and with the songs and trying to enter in to the energetic body of the other person and move energy. And so in singing to this lady just for, you know, 30 seconds, she went from not feeling very much to just, you know, weeping, just tears flowing, pouring out of her, and then vomiting and then coughing. And having this incredible experience where she felt all this energy move out of her, these orange and red rocks that eventually opened up this further experience that happened to her after the song, which was two basic phases where it was her ancestors, her grandparents and beyond coming to her like I say, in an experience that maybe it seems very mystical and strange to people, but ultimately emotionally very real for her, you know, as far as the way her body is responding emotionally to what's happening. And all these ancestral kind of family members telling her, hey, you know, we love you all the way. We're behind you 100%. And yet we understand, you know, your parents, they didn't have the resources to be there for you that way. But now you can. Now it's time. And we love you, you know, to the depths of what is possible. And you can love yourself, you know. And she experienced that and had the experience of that. And then later, through kind of a further mystical vision, was shown something about her ex-husband and why he may have been kind of a, you know, sexual addict and some trauma that he had been through. And so that single experience opened up this pathway for her to ultimately resolve her cough and, you know, improve the quality of her life. And so that's one example, you know. I mean, I was just there and you just had a mix of stories from, you know, different people. And it's hard to describe all of them. You know, it's just every single person. I was there for 5 weeks, and, you know, we just had some miraculous things happen across the board to everyone. And it's really impressive. But, of course, that depends on so many factors, you know, and there's a lot to consider around the responsibility and the training of the shamans involved and the support that's there for people, you know, before, during, and after. So I don't know. That's one story from the book.
You know, I want to give a quote that you have on the back of the book by Alberto Villoldo, who I think is fantastic. He's an author and a PhD and trained as a shaman himself. But I love this quote that he said, and it kind of connects with what you're saying. And this is the quote. This is the medicine of the future, the big answer to what ails all of us in the West. For millennia, the doctor and the medicine man were one and the same person. Dr. Tafur takes us into the heart of the Amazon and shows us how spirit can heal the body, how love can repair the soul, and how awakening to our higher purpose and mission in life can open the doors to health and long life. That's such a profound quote as to the purpose of plant medicine, working with traditionally trained shaman, and the missing piece in the healing journey. You know, as a psychotherapist, I spent many, 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 many hours, many, many, many dollars in personal growth work. And it was all very valuable. It definitely allowed me to get greater insight into the wounds. And we all carry wounds. I think we have to establish that fact. We all on this planet
right.
carry a certain degree of experiences that are part of the purpose of us being here that have caused us to create pain, suffering, sorrow. And you know, they were that journey that I went through in personal growth from a time early in my life when I had a very profound spiritual awakening was keeping me on the path. But there's something that happens when you are in the presence of the shaman with this sacred medicine and its purpose, which is to take us out of the logical left brain part of us, the part that is really good at holding back or shutting off, and getting us into some profound places where the trauma happened, the time when we disconnected from our spirit, from our soul, occurred, so we can repair and live the life we're meant to live. You know, the statistic
yeah.
that I have is that 143 million Americans, it's almost half the population, 143 million Americans are living with at least one chronic disease. And there's probably,
right.
you know, a whole statistic that talks about how many other chronic diseases many people are dealing with. And we try to treat it with drugs, but we're not treating the soul, which is where the disease originates from.
Right. And that's a cultural problem, you know.
Deep cultural problem.
Yeah,
deep
the neglect of the soul, you know, is just like, that's it right there. You know, that's the, you know, that's it. And so that's what, you know, Maladomo Somejo, I like to quote sometimes, you know, he says, like, from his experience coming from his traditional culture in Burkina Faso in Africa and be trained in a traditional shamanic kind of healing path that doesn't involve psychedelic plants, you know, but purely ritual and ceremony and just advanced practice. And that he says, you know, what's wrong here is that people are disconnected, you know, they're disconnected from community, you know, from nature, and from spirit, you know, that those are three basic necessities for the human being. And that's what traditional cultures have been aware of, and that's what they've learned, you know, over the many generations of their experience. And so reconnecting people to those three things, you know, is such a simple step, you know. But that's, you know, that kind of thing that you do, for example, in a healing center like Niue Rau Centro Espiritual and some of the other healing centers, you know, you get people in retreat, they're getting reconnected to a natural environment, they're being placed into a healing community where everyone there is kind of, you know, addressing and dealing with what, as you talk about, the wounding that is like universal. You know, they're decided to accept that and to help each other through that and to hold the space for all of us to get through that together, that there is a way through it and we all hope and we're working towards it and we're going to find a way. And then, you know, allowing for this kind of spiritual access. And so, you know, of course, the psychotherapy and all these different ways of approaching people, and there's so many ways to do it. But it's interesting, you know, for people who are kind of culturally blocked from accessing, you know, mystical experiences or spiritual experiences, or maybe even they're just blocked from their emotional experiences, blocked from understanding, you know, when, like you said, things went awry, when the emotional trauma hit, that kind of began the dis-ease. And then, you know, here we are on planet Earth, and I don't think that it's for everybody, you know, and I'm not trying to push ayahuasca on everybody, but it is like a beautiful medicine made available by nature, you know, and it's just very interesting that this very simple, natural thing that is all about like this intimate relationship between these tribes and the forest, you know, like the very origins of the drink itself. You know, it's a big mystery that has a lot to do with apparently, you know, their intimate relationship with the earth, and that in that relationship there's this revelation that, hey, you know, there's a force here on this earth, there are ways in which nature can help you, you know, nature's magic is still alive. And so we see how plant medicine helps us in so many other regards, but also like at a spiritual profound level, something like ayahuasca, you know, where people drink it and all of a sudden, boom, you know, they're brought back, like you said, to the moment, you know, that they had forgotten about. Oh, I mean, sometimes it's a suppressed memory with a lot of heavy duty, you know, stuff there. And sometimes it's just something that happened on the playground, you know, that they kind of like forgot and realized, oh my God, you know, that was kind of important. And I need to reconcile that. You know, and I might need to forgive and work through some kind of emotional healing around that so that I can move on and not be frozen in that, you know, my past trauma. And so ayahuasca is amazing with its ability to, because sometimes some of those things, like that deep emotional healing that we're seeking, you know, which can be facilitated, and that's what the general theory of love is all about, you know, in psychotherapy, it does happen, you know, people do have breakthroughs. But it seems like maybe one of the most important things about what makes a really profound psychotherapeutic experience is that you're really, you know, being, you're receiving love. Like there is a resonance of love and reflecting back to you to provide that kind of frequency of energy that would allow you to reconcile, you know, some of this stuff. And so the, you know, things like ayahuasca, you know, has that capacity to take somebody who is very blocked and locked up in their mind and really kind of expose them and decondition them very rapidly, and sometimes too rapidly. It can be traumatic, you know, if you dose too high and blow the person apart and, you know, their ego, you have to do it carefully. But all of a sudden, you know, they can see into this kind of what is regarded to be a spiritual realm and understand things, you know, from a higher perspective. that before was very difficult to access, and for sure it has to do with their culture, you know, because you see people in village life in the Amazon, or, you know, you talk here, Maladoma, talk about village life and where he's from, and you don't see these kind of mental health problems, you know, you don't see, that's a fact, and you don't see this shame about being a human being on this earth, you know, this existential crisis of like, why do I even exist, you know? It's like, you don't see that so often. You know, there is suffering. There are, you know, there's problems. There's relationship problems. And, you know, there is, I mean, I'm probably overstating that, but there's less, you know. So you see the role of the culture in addressing the importance, you know, of healing the heart and the power of a spiritual context in order to do that. In other words, you know.
Well, I was going to say, it's what you were saying is so profound, and the thing people need to understand, if people are needing help, if they are dealing with a trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, if they're dealing with physical illness and are drawn to finding the source of the dis-ease in their being, and want to explore with the medicine, but there are certain things people need to know. For instance, I would say, and you would probably agree, you've got to make sure you're under the guidance of a traditionally trained shaman who's like the guide, the spiritual teacher, to help you in this process. Not just go anywhere. This is not recreational. This is deep, profound work that people are doing with their beings, and they want to be sure. Do you have any guidance for people who might be open and curious?
So there's a couple of things to consider. Like, well, first, just from the medical perspective, you know, you got to throw it out there that people with a history of bipolar and manic episodes and schizophrenia and psychotic episodes, you know, they are at risk from ayahuasca to be put into a destabilized state that, you know, may not be able to be dealt with spiritually or emotionally and might require psychiatric intervention. And I've seen people, you know, go into those destabilized states. So it's something to be that in generally is just not recommended. You know, there are some people exploring ways that might be able to be explored, but in general, the guidance is don't do it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the risk of, you know, an intense experience to somebody who has like some kind of delicate cardiovascular state, you know, that they could have a heart attack or they could have a stroke, you know, in some kind of intense experience. So those are just a couple of the points. And then that you need to be really ready and have the kind of support to kind of go through the integration process and kind of process psychologically, you know, what you may experience. So that's just a couple things to think about. But then beyond that, it's like, yeah, you know, there's once we've already opened like the door to the mystery, you know, once we enter this tradition, and it's very rare, you know, and I'm talking about seeing like maybe 1,000 people come through the center for somebody to not have a mystical experience eventually. You know, there, it does happen. It's extremely rare. In other words, a huge percentage will. And so then that being said, it's like, okay, well, so now it's okay to talk about mystical experiences because it's very common to experience that within this process. And so we have this thing, and that's what I try to talk about in the book, where you have this emotional body, you know, which is part of your access to the mystery. And then we also, and that could be blocked by emotional baggage, is going to be blocking you from understanding some of these or having this kind of spiritual connection that's going to open you up to some kind of higher understanding. Like we're saying, how could you possibly make sense of suffering in the world and this wounding of the soul, you know, unless you really have some kind of higher dimensional spiritual perspective, you know, that exists basically beyond the lifespan. So that kind of access is very limited. You know, when somebody's emotionally blocked up and a lot of trauma and a lot of baggage and not a lot of support, that being said, so there's a portal of sorts between this emotional body and the mystical realms, and that being said, then there's also, you can open that portal the other way around, where now mystical realms are going to be entering into the emotional energetic body. And so that's kind of where the shaman is helping to navigate the situation. And where, you know, if we're in this mystical discussion, I mean, you open up realms there, there is some risk, you know, that you're going to have some kind of dark energy or something come in, you know, if you're not well protected or well guided. And so you need people with you know, serious experience to hold the space and protect the people and help them as they're going to be exposed energetically to a new level that maybe they've never been exposed to before. So that's one thing to consider and why you want an advanced practitioner. And then from a more practical perspective, well, there's a lot of unscrupulous people out there, you know, within the ayahuasca shamanic and everywhere else that may try to take advantage of you, you know, and there's a lot of stories of people being taken advantage sexually and otherwise.
I just want to add that it's become really popular, and a lot of people want to have the title of shaman. Find that, you know,
right.
It's like the in thing to be a shaman.
That's right.
It used to be a yogi. Mm-hmm. Now this, you know, being a shaman is
right.
Cool. So it's always important to find the traditional. The traditional healer.
You wanna have, it's a very serious job, it's a very delicate matter, and so you want somebody that's skilled and experienced. It's a great responsibility. And so then you have to have some kind of personal recommendation, you know, somebody that you trust or that earns your trust that is gonna lead you to consider, you know, trying to go through the experience with somebody. And that's just because their self proclamation or the way they run their mouth, you know, is going to be what encourages you to do it. It's like, that's not quite good enough. That's not good enough for your health. You know, you wouldn't subject yourself to surgery in under those circumstances, you know. And like we say, you know, you got people going down to Peru. They don't speak the language. They don't know the culture. They don't know about anything that's going on. All of a sudden, they're going to sit down and drink this mind-blowing experience with a stranger.
Choose your shaman well. And that's why your center is you know, such a... an authentic experience. I've been to places called Pulse Tours. They work with Shipibo Shaman, working with this Rhythmia Center in Costa Rica. They work with traditional Colombian shaman. So in the couple of minutes we have left, we only have a couple of minutes, literally, I want to remind people that your book, which is a great read, Joe, you did a great job. It's called The Fellowship of the River, A Medical Doctor's Exploration into Traditional Amazonian Plant Medicine. If you want to know more about Dr. Joe Trafor, go to Dr. Joe Trafor, which is TAFUR.com, Dr. Joe Trafor, TAFUR.com, or to modernspirit.org. Those are the best websites. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, modernspirit.org. So in just a couple of minutes we have left, how could you say, in, you know, succinctly, the most profound gift that this journey has given you?
The most profound gift this journey has given me is to help me to basically bring my spirit to life. You know, I think that's what I'm interested in. And that's like, as far as this soul's purpose and what is the purpose of art and sport and music and all these things and healing arts, it's like to bring the spirit to life, you know, so you can embody this kind of your soul's existence. And this definitely brought me to that, you know, maybe not all the time, but plenty of times. And that's been I'm very grateful to that, to the Amazon and to the Shipibos and to everyone that's helped me and to the medical training and everything along the way, my family, et cetera. So that's what
I can say. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You can get to this moment in your life where all you have for everything you've been through is gratitude.
I'm getting there. I'm almost there. You're there.
I have a few years on you, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little more time. I'm almost there.
You're there. You are there. Affirm you are there. You're just realizing it. Well, I know that through your book, you're opening lots of people's eyes and hearts. And it'll be so interesting to see where you go taking this amazing experience of training with a shaman, becoming a shaman in your own right, and now with and having your medical career and seeing how you integrate it and do some great things in the world for healing, the healing that's needed. So I wish you all the greatest success in your endeavors, Joe. You'll be doing wonderful things, I have no doubt.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. So welcome. And to all my listeners, thank you for joining me today and being part of this conversation and the learnings and healings that happen as occurs every week. So I look forward to having you journey with me again next week. And until then, remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.